Good morning, church. Always good to be with you over here on the Cordova campus and bring greetings. And so fun to have our young people home from a great trip. I was thinking about all, we're talking about spiritual warfare today. And I was thinking about, after 24 years of youth ministry, I've been stuck on the side of the road in a hot bus before. And I feel like it's spiritual warfare. The devil doesn't want us to get to the place where God has called us, where we're going to learn and grow and become faithful followers of Jesus. So, well, you all won. You got there. So, yep, good job. Good job. It actually also was making me, I was thinking about this passage of scripture that we're going to tackle today. We're in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 6 today, and we're talking about spiritual warfare, but the armor of God. And when I was a kid, I had to memorize this passage at camp. And camp is a place where you go to, and for me, it was 7 full days, you're immersed in worshiping God, reading your Bible and learning from the Bible, memorizing scripture, and there is a group of adults that are cheering you on in your faith walk, and they are praying for you fervently that whole week, because that's the goal when you go away to these camps, that you would grow in your faith walk while you're there. Let me pray for us before we get started. God, I ask that you would have your way and that you would speak to us this morning, that each of us would hear from you. In your name we pray, amen. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Wouldn't it be impressive if I could just still do that passage of scripture? So as a kid, when I went to camp, you got to earn a patch for the week. And each year that you went, it got harder and harder. And you had different tasks you had to accomplish. You would do like the craft project, and the craft project got harder. And you had to be like the first year was like, a good camper, and the next year was like very good camper. But year 3, when we had to memorize the passage of scripture, it was Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. So if you're following along, we're going to be in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 this morning. And the first part of Ephesians 6, 10 starts out with the word finally. And as a kid, I was like, shouldn't that be like when I finish memorizing this? Because I was not good at memorizing scripture. And we had 1 hour a day. They called it rest time, but that was like, I was not resting. I was working so hard that hour, and they rallied people around me, and they were like helping me memorize this passage of scripture. And so I was like, finally is in the wrong spot. It should be at the end when I memorize this whole thing. But the reason it's here is because Paul, in the book of Ephesians, these are his final thoughts. And he's like, here's my last words of wisdom in this letter to you this morning. So he says, finally. Okay, so that's why it says finally. All right. So verse 10 says this, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Now, there's a reason that we need to put on the full armor of God, and here's why. It says right here, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. All right, so most pastors kind of, don't like to talk about the devil very much, so I was thinking about, I'm like, I wonder who actually believes in the devil anymore, right? Because we don't talk about him a lot. There's a reason. He's a jerk. So, who even believes in him? So I'm Googling, and there's a Gallup poll in 2023 that they took. They actually asked people, do you believe in the devil? And 58% of Americans believe in the devil, believe that there is a devil. And then there's 28% that do not. They're like, doesn't exist. And then there's 14% outliers. So maybe I'm talking to the 14% for a few moments, but I want to tell you who the devil is. Like, we don't usually do that. The pastors don't usually be like, let me just explain to you who the devil is. But we got to know. We got to know who's the enemy. Who are we against? We got to know who we're going after and how to fight against the devil. All right. And I'm only going to use scripture to tell you. Number 1, he is a murderer and a liar. You, a murderer and a liar. John 8:44, the second half of it says, Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him, and he lies. He speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So if it is a lie, it is from the devil. That's when you know that is the devil at work. When someone's lying to you or you're finding yourself lying, you're participating with helping the devil. You don't want to help the devil. So don't be a liar. But also, it is good for us to know that that's one of his schemes. He lies to us, and he oftentimes lies to us about who we are as humans. And he lies about our friends, our neighbors, our family, and lies to us about who they are. He loves that one because it's divisive, and it doesn't give us the power when we all rally together and go in the same direction. We're believing bad things about each other, but also ourselves. Jesus wants us to remember that we are his beloved child, and the bad things that we hear that we think we are is actually from the devil, and they are lies. Number two, the devil is a tempter. He's a tempter. In Genesis, he tempts Adam and Eve. We all have probably heard that story before. He's the one in the garden who's like, yeah, no problem, just eat from that tree. God's just trying to make it so you're not as smart as him. But he also, in the New Testament, in Matthew 4:1, he tempts Jesus himself. In Matthew 4:1, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He is the tempter. When you feel tempted, it's not God. It's the devil who's tempting you. And so you need to, you know, do the thing. Get thee behind me, Satan, right? Walk forward. Number three, he is a thief. He steals scripture from our hearts, and he wants to steal us away from God. Luke 8:12, the second half says, the devil comes and takes away the word from our heart. The word of God, he takes it from our hearts so that we may not believe and be saved. He does not want us to be believers. He does not want new people to come to the Lord. The devil is against that, and he's trying to keep people away from becoming a part of the kingdom of God. Number four, he is the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, you might think this is something we shouldn't be talking about in church, but we need to be talking about this in church, because when you feel like no matter what you do or how hard you try, it just seems like you can't serve the Lord like you want to, that's the devil trying to stop you. That means you're probably doing something that you're called to do, and it feels too hard, like getting to camp. I will say that I experienced spiritual warfare probably the most in my life on Sunday morning from 5 a.m. to about noon. It's true. All the time. It happens all the time. I'm surprised every single Sunday. I'm like, there he goes again, messing up my life. Well, this week, he started early because yesterday we did a spiritual retreat out at a retreat house, and 17 women were going to sit and listen for the voice of God for 2.5 hours. They were just going to sit and be with God. And so, of course, my little dog Scooter decided to have a little bellyache, right? Like that's you know, Satan kind of messing up my life. This is Scooter. I know his little tummy hurts. And so I was feeling distracted by that. And I feel like Sunday mornings we get distracted, right? It's usually really like little things. I mean, he's the center of our universe. He's why we go to work every day, you know, to give him the life that he has. but other things that are smaller, like I used to get mad at Rodney almost every Sunday morning, my husband. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? And then I realized, oh, that's the devil. He's getting in my mind and my thoughts, and he's trying to work me over, right? He's telling me lies about my husband, that he's trying to distract me from the Lord's work. And so we need to fight against those things when they come up. I don't know if you have children, and it seems like, why are they always acting up on Sunday morning and not wearing what I need them to wear? Like, that is the devil. They are not the devil, but the devil's like whispering in their ear, just be a pain in the neck today and you won't have to go to church, you know, like if they don't want to. My sister has 6 kids. And at one point she's like, she almost wanted to give up, right? Like, this is hard work. There's 6 of them. But she came up with this get against the devil's schemes idea. She's like, if everybody's by the front door at this time, then we get donuts. Wow, that was a way to combat the devil's evil schemes, because everybody had what they were supposed to be wearing on, they were by the door, and they were on time, and it totally transformed their Sunday morning, shall we say, and people weren't mad at each other on their way to church. The devil loves that when we get to church mad at the person that we rode over with. He loves that. He's like, this is going to be so good. They're going to be mad and distracted the whole service. I have them, right? It's good to know who we're fighting against so that we can fight against the spiritual realm that is as real as us sitting in this room. We sometimes forget that. In fact, some of us never knew it in the first place, that there's a spiritual realm that we are battling against every single day. It says so right here in God's word, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is a battle going on. The devil is real, and we need to figure out a way to fight against that. And God is working with us and wants to help us, and he gives us his word so that we can do this. The devil wants to distract us from what he's calling us to do. 2 years ago in 8 months, my husband and I moved here from the Chicago area. And about 2 months before we were going to get here, all of a sudden I felt like everything was going wrong. Like everything just seemed to be going wrong. Every time we tried to make a forward movement, something went wrong. And the house we put a bid on here fell through. And then our house that had a contract on it 2 weeks before we were supposed to come here fell through. And Rodney looked at me. He's like, do you think this is God telling us we shouldn't come? And, you know, we actually sat and had a conversation, and it wasn't until, and I was like, well, I have already quit my job, and you have already sold your store. We're trapped. We have to go, or else I got to find another job real fast and find another way through this. And then the night before we were supposed to leave, a flat tire, we're supposed to drive both of our cars down here, and he and I looked at each other, and he's like, spiritual. That's what it's been the whole time. It's like it all came together for us in that moment. We've been fighting a battle. And I can tell you right now, after 2 years and 8 months, watching over 100 new people come to Advent Arlington Church and plug in and start to grow. And I don't mean just grow in numbers. They have grown spiritually. There are people that are attending over there who have never gone to church before. There are people attending church over there that had so much church hurt, they told me, they're like, I was never going to walk through the church doors ever again. There are people over there who had never brought their children to church. They may have gone as a child, but they had never brought their children, and they're attending church. There's people over there who did not have Bibles and have bought them, and they didn't just buy them. They're reading them. God is on the move. So, of course, the devil didn't want me coming down here and being a part of what he was doing. God wants to use you, and don't let him distract you by his little schemes of lying to you about what is going wrong in your life. Amen, right? All right, verse 14. Verse 14 says this, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Okay, so this is the first piece of armor that he's talking about here, and it's the belt of truth. If you've ever had an outfit that needed a belt, if you don't have the belt, it all falls apart, right? If you don't have the belt, you cannot move freely with freedom and run around. Like, it like makes your heart start to race even as I'm talking about this belt, isn't it? Well, if you didn't know, Dan and I made fools of ourselves throughout VBS on the stage while we were doing VBS. And the week beforehand, we had 1 hour to figure it all out. We had to get all the props. We had to memorize our lines. We had to run through. We were like, we got to get this done. And so we ran in the room, and here comes Dan running in. He's holding a broken belt and his pants. And he's like, what am I going to do? I'm like, Dan, we do not have time for this. And luckily, Dan grabbed a stapler and fixed his belt, and we were off and running again. But you need the belt of truth. And then when you tell lies, it is very hard to keep up with your lies, right? And you know you're going to get found out. And so it is best to tell the truth. And that's what God is saying. Tell the truth. It brings you freedom, even when it's hard. The next piece of the armor. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. Okay, the breastplate is up by your chin and comes all the way down to your waist, meeting the belt. And it protects all your vital organs, which is really, yeah, that's good. Like, keep that breastplate of righteousness on here. It says in Scripture, guard your heart. Guard your heart. And so that is one of the most important ones, is to guard your heart, because if an arrow goes through your heart, it's over, right? So we gotta guard our heart. And it's not talking about your actual physical heart. It's talking about your emotional heart. We need to guard our hearts. Another thing that happened a couple weeks ago is I got a text message right as we were doing the run-through in the morning, and the text message came through, and it said, hey, Diane, I want you to read this email. It's from someone. I hadn't heard from this person in 6 years. I want you to read this email. I want to affirm you. This group of people, we really want to affirm you. And I was like, oh, I best not read that right now. It's 30 minutes before church. I knew the devil has some schemes, right? It's like when, you know, click this link, right? I mean, this was someone I knew. This is someone that I have a good relationship with. But I'm glad I didn't, because later when I opened that email that had, yes, one full page of affirmations of who I am and who I was to that group of people, and pages and pages and pages of drama that I no longer need to be a part of. That kind of set me in a tailspin for a couple hours, right? Because I care about them. And that's what I am saying about guarding our heart. Like, when Scooter's sick, I got to guard my heart against thinking the worst. That's where the breastplate of righteousness comes in. Yes, we're obeying God. And part of that is not allowing ourselves to get all tangled up in all the drama that is around us. It's protecting and guarding our heart. All right, the next piece of armor for us. Before we get there, I have another dog. His name's Fozzie. I know, he's so cute, but he's the naughty one. He's the mean one. He won't let you pet him. I know. He's so cute. Everybody wants to pet him. He got real sick right before I was going to speak at a retreat with you all like 2 years ago. And I remember taking him to the vet that morning. I was speaking that night. And the vet's like, I don't know if he's going to make it. And I was like, what? Like, he's only 6 years old. Like, what do you mean? And she's like, here are all the meds that you can give him. So I'm, you know, dosing this guy up and doing all the things. And she's like, if he gets worse, bring him back and we'll hospitalize him. I'm like, oh my gosh, this sounds expensive. Yeah, spiritual warfare can also be expensive. So as I bring him home and I dosed him up and Rodney's coming home, I had to guard my heart as I led that night. I had to not get all tangled up assuming the worst was going to happen. I had to say, I've done everything that I can to help him. And then I had to step back and allow God to work in me, through me, in my little dog. We have to guard our hearts. Okay, now on to the next piece of armor. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I don't know if it's because I love shoes or because I love sharing the gospel. But I love this image of getting your feet ready to spread the gospel. Back when I was a youth pastor, Uggs were like the cool thing to have, Ugg boots. And I was like, oh man. And all the teenagers had them, and I hung out with teenagers. So I was like, man, I really want a pair of Ugg boots. But they were like crazy expensive. And I was like, that doesn't seem like good stewardship. One day this woman comes into my office with a box, and she's like, these are for you. And I opened it up, and it was pink Uggs. Pink Uggs in my size. Like right away, I don't even remember what shoes I had on. And I pulled them on, and I was like, oh, they fit perfectly. And I thought the Lord had provided deeply for me that day. He does love me, right? And the only reason I got them was because the mom had ordered them online for her daughter that wore the same size shoes as me, and they wouldn't take them back. But I took it. And I was so excited because we were heading off to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and I was going to wear my new boots all weekend. I was going to look so good. And I was like, I'm not taking any other shoes or boots because I'm going to wear these inside and outside and everywhere. And I stepped off our charter bus, and I down. Immediately, I looked back up at the kids and I was like super confused. Like, why am I on the ground? And I stood up confidently and fell right back down again. I had not checked the readiness of these boots. So in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, there is a layer, 3 or 4 inches of ice the whole season, like 4 or 5 months. So every inch of this place is ice. And now, for the whole weekend, I'm clinging to teenage girls to get from building to building. I'm like, hey, anybody going my way, right? Like, I was leading the camp. Like, this was a disaster. It was a terrible weekend. I did not get my feet ready. And so when you think about getting your feet ready each morning and thinking about who is it that God's asking me to share the gospel with today, who needs to hear who Jesus is? And some of you already, your knees are starting to quake, right? Like, I got those slippery boots on. But here's what I want to say. Share as much as you know. What I've watched in Arlington, these people who have just come to Christ, they have just started buying Bibles. They are the ones that are inviting the next people. That's all they know how to do. They don't know how to share the gospel yet. They're still figuring it out themselves. They're like, I don't know, but it's really good. Jesus is changing my life. That's what they're saying to people. You should come. And they do. And that's why we've grown by 100 people in such a short amount of time. Share what you know of the gospel and continue to get your feet ready so you can share more of what Jesus has done in your life. Verse 16. In addition to all this, keep the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Okay, so in this, Paul is actually talking about a shield, and some of the shields that were made during that time would have leather at the front of it, and then they would actually soak it in water, and here's why. Because the enemy would take the arrows and they would put pitch or like a sticky sap on it and then light it on fire. So that when it came at you, not only did it pierce your skin, but you're on fire. And so this shield is now able to extinguish the arrows that come at you if you get behind the shield of faith. So the shield of faith, if you have the spiritual gift of faith, it means that you actually believe, no matter what, that God wins. At the end of the day, the victory is his. And you're someone who can claim that. So even if you're scared, because if fiery arrows are coming at me, I'll tell you, I'm usually pretty nervous. But what God is saying is get behind that shield of faith and let those arrows come. And you say over and over again to yourself and to your friends, God wins. Always. He wins in the end. He's the one. He's the one in the end that is going to have the victory. And we have to claim that and hold on to that shield of faith and get behind it, even when we are afraid. All right, verse 17 is our next piece. It says, take the helmet of salvation. In Romans 10:9, it says, It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When we start a relationship with Jesus, when we declare that he is the King and Savior of our lives, we get a helmet that protects us. It is our salvation. You'll hear a lot of athletes say, well, it was actually my mind. I won the game in my mind first, right? And really, when you think about life and following Jesus, it's a mind game, right? You got to get your head in the game from the beginning. And we have to remind ourselves that we have the gift of salvation. God gave that to us. And we have to wear it to protect ourselves. And we have to remind ourselves that you are a beloved child of God and you are protected by the King of Kings. And you have to say that to yourself when people are lying to you and telling you that you're not saved. And that you're not a follower of Jesus. You are his beloved, and you have been saved, and you have to guard your mind with the helmet of salvation. The next piece of armor is, and it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is a piece of armor that is so important. It's a sword that we can use to fight off temptation. That's what Jesus did in the garden. He used the sword of the word of God. Every single time that the devil tempted him, he used scripture to say, mm-mm, no way. We're called to do the same. And when we have scripture memorized and in our heart, we can use it to fight off temptation in our own lives. Hard, yes, but we can be ready and we can take up the sword in so many different ways. We can read the word of God every single day. Like Dan was saying, that other countries, you can't just pick up the word of God. I bet a lot of your houses have way more than one Bible in your house. Yeah, right? We are blessed to have the word of God at our fingertips. Memorize it, read it, get in a small group and talk about it with others, study it, and commit it to be the thing that changes who you are and how you walk through life. If we do not put on all the pieces of armor, we are actually putting ourselves at risk in some way, shape, or form. We have to wear the full armor of God when we go out each day. Hear this last verse that we're talking about today, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. We can put on all the armor and we can be ready to go. But unless we're crying out, we're doing that battle cry of here we go and crying out to God and praying and not praying, we are losing our power. We have power in prayer. And there's someone in this room that every Sunday morning, she text messages me about 7 a.m. and says, how can I pray for you? I've never told her that Sunday mornings are the hardest, but she probably knows because she's a prayer warrior and she's like, that's a pastor. Yeah, the battle is rough today. I'm going to ask her how I can be praying for her. We need to be praying for ourselves and for each other to fight that battle. It is a battle. We have to be strong. We have to stand against. We have to stand firm. We have to believe that we are saved. We have to speak boldly for Jesus, and we have to read the word of God and immerse ourselves in that so that we can fight that battle. Now, if you fell asleep or you weren't paying attention, I got one passage of scripture that I'm going to read for you from 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, and it sums it all up for us. For though we live in a world where we do not wage war as the world does, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience against your obedience is complete. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we are so thankful that you give us weapons to fight against the devil's evil schemes. God, we want what you want. We want to claim ground for your kingdom. And we ask, God, that you would help us each day as we get ready to put on the full armor of God, that we would be putting on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and get our shoes ready to share the gospel. And we would take up the sword of the Spirit so that we can fight the battle that you've called each one of us to. God, we know that you have the power. We know that you hold it in your glory. And we ask, God, today that we would claim it for you and for ourselves. In your name we pray. Amen.